The alternative is grad school, the dry suit remix by Cirque Bamboo. Read by Rose. This is part one of the Scuba Fork series. I just got recruited to be your office monkey in a Starbucks because I can scuba dive. I don't even think my brain can process how awesome that is. It would have been at least 50% more awesome if, perhaps, they didn't expect her to use her scuba certification. Darcy Lewis had gotten her advanced open water diver scuba certification on December 13th, finished her last final exam ever, maybe, on December 15th, and had technically graduated on December 18th. There was not enough chocolate or alcohol in the world to make her go to the formal graduation ceremony, so she was done on the 15th. Really, after meeting a Norse god or two, meeting the mere president of a university would have been profoundly anticlimactic. Apparently, Agent Coulson had known that, as he and his fellow ninjas, excuse her, SHIELD agents, had packed up her entire apartment and moved her to New York, into Jane's apartment, apparently with Jane's permission, by the end of business on December 16th. Of course, she was planning on doing roughly the same thing anyway, but her lease wasn't up until January 31st, which would have given her an extra 6 weeks or so to pack things the way she wanted. Or, okay, mess around on the internet and then throw everything in a bag last minute. Whichever. They'd left her the whole weekend to get situated from her cross-country move. Generous of them, she supposed, because apparently she was starting work as the aforementioned official monkey on December 19th. "Do I get time to go visit my family for Christmas?" she asked Agent Coulson. "How much time do you need?" he asked. If she'd just looked at his face and listened to his voice, she might have thought she'd get away with asking not to start work until after January 1st. But she knew better. "A long weekend?" He nodded. "Be sure to finish the online classes for your rescue diver course before the in-water training starts." Rescue diver?" "Yes, it's the next step. You've already been certified in CPR and first aid, so you can go straight to the rescue diving training. We've set you up for a private training date on December 28th. "Okay." 5 months later, including multiple trips to the Florida Keys, apparently Tony Stark had a place there too. Darcy, YHGTBKM Lewis, was a master scuba diver and qualified to teach open water diving as well as a handful of specialities, including search and rescue, night diving, ice diving, Coulson had ordered it, deep diving, and cavern diving. She'd wanted to do some of the underwater photography type courses, but Coulson said she'd have to pay for them on her own. No. Her salary wasn't that great. Although her student loans had mysteriously disappeared. Seriously, working for SHIELD was the best job ever. She got paid to file and staple and once in a while throw together a slideshow presentation and, oh, right, also become an expert in scuba diving. It was work, definitely, but if the office monkey gig fell through, the paid instructor that the organization had kidnapped, brought in, said she could always come work for them, if they didn't kill her first. It might be in the NDA, she wasn't sure. And then, on a Tuesday, when she expected to scrub out the coffee pot and find some terrible clip art to complement the completely pointless transitions between slides, they threw her in the pool with Natasha Romanoff and Clint Barton and expected her to teach them stuff. She guessed she didn't need to teach anyone else how to dive, as they had superpowers or merch suits that allowed them to do things like breathe underwater and see in the dark. But still, Natasha could kill people with her pinkies and not even break a sweat, and Clint could shoot her from the top of the building about 10 miles away or something. This was going to end badly. The problem was, well, there were a lot of problems. Problem number one was that she would never, ever look like Natasha in a wetsuit. And although she really desperately wished that didn't matter, it did. Sort of. No, it didn't. Not a problem. Anyway, so problem number one was what Clint looked like in a wetsuit. Okay, actually, he was technically wearing a dive skin, not a wetsuit, but whatever she wanted to call it, it was black, skin-tight neoprene. He clearly wasn't wearing anything under it, and oh boy, was there a lot of him to see. Well, all right, that really wasn't the problem either. That is, It wouldn't be once she could get her goddamn libido in check. That meant that problem number one was that she was fairly certain there was something going on between the two of them, even though Natasha was her usual cold professional perfect self and Clint gave no hint of it either. Well, not that that was a problem, really. Everyone deserved to have someone, right? So she scratched that one, too. Actual facts. Problem number one was... Well, there were so many other problems that she just shoved them all into a mental box and slammed it shut. For now. She shook her head and returned her attention to the task at hand, which was teaching a pair of assassins an utterly useless skill. "Why on earth do I need to teach the two of you how to scuba dive?" Darcy asked the ceiling. "Director Fury suggested it," Natasha said, and Darcy rolled her eyes. "Yeah, okay, I deserved that one," she said. "All right, you both completed the online class, right? Then let's start with the equipment." "Problems are in a box," she reminded herself, especially after both of them had turned out to learn incredibly quickly and had done much better than she had done her first, three or four classes. It was annoying. Clint was from Iowa or some corn-filled state nowhere near the ocean, and Natasha? Well, never mind. If Natasha hadn't been perfect at it, Darcy probably would have been more surprised. Still, she was a master scuba diver now, Darcy reminded herself. Master. Maybe she should have made them call her Master Lewis. Darcy was running down a long hallway, being chased by the destroyer, but instead of flames, it was spitting out pixelated bombs or bullets or whatever they were from Space Invaders. Then all of a sudden it started singing... Poker Face? Which, as soon as she managed to surface from sleep, she remembered was her ringtone for Agent Coulson. He'd found out about it more than once, and had not been amused, ordering her to switch it to something else. But she always switched it back as soon as she could. She slapped her bedside table a few times, trying to find the phone, but apparently she'd used one of the living room sockets to plug the charger in. She sat up and sighed. Jane came in a moment later, wearing her bathrobe, and fairly obviously nothing else underneath it, and held out Darcy's phone. "You got a call," she said. "Thor got a call, too. He left. In other words, he had probably jumped out of the window or something. "Thanks," Darcy said, and took the phone. One missed call from Agent Ninja Coulson. She hit the button to call him back and waved at Jane, who was making "I'm leaving now" gestures as she walked back towards the door. He answered on the second ring. "Miss Lewis, emergency. There will be a car out front for you in about 2 minutes. He hung up before she could say anything. "Sure," she said to the dial tone, and hit the button to turn the screen off before she started digging through her floored robe. What? She was going to unfuck up her room if she ever got a full weekend to herself, to find cleanish jeans and an appropriate shirt for the weather. Whatever it was. This spring had been really weird, weather-wise, and it was best to be prepared for anything from 90 to snow. She looked out the window. And it wasn't snowing, so she probably didn't need a wool sweater, and opted for a sweatshirt she'd stolen from an ex-boyfriend, proclaiming her allegiance to some high school hockey team. It occurred to her, as she shoved her hair into a ponytail, that she had no idea why an office monkey would be remotely useful in an emergency. But it didn't matter. The car was waiting at the curb when she got down to the street, maybe 2.5 minutes after she left. Look, bras with 4 hooks took a little longer than bras with only 2 hooks, all right? And before she'd really managed to get situated in the back seat, the driver took off. She fastened her seatbelt and then saw... Wait, was that her rubberized dry suit? Hitting the button to talk to the driver, she said, "What's a dry suit for?" The driver, she didn't recognize him, but had early on in her appointment decided that all drivers were to be called Jeeves, until told otherwise. Gave her a look in the mirror and said, dry as dust, "I expect you're supposed to be wearing it when we get to the building." What building? And for that matter, what call was there for a diver in a rubberized dry suit in a building? The one Loki set on fire. Well, that cleared matters up. Not at all. She sighed. Okay, don't look. Jeeves rolled his eyes at her and angled the mirror a little further up. Whoever had put the dry suit in the back of the car had thoughtfully included the bathing suit, actually triathlon suit, so it had a high neckline and short-length leg coverage, and, thank God, a wonderful amount of rack support. She normally wore underdiving suits. Not that, of course, she really wanted to struggle inside anything, let alone two skin-tight garments, in the back of a car, driving erratically through New York. But she'd done stranger things. Maybe. At least the car had tinted windows. She was still zipping up the dry suit and trying to get the cuffs to lay flat and not pinch her wrists when they got to the building, which wasn't on fire anymore. Darcy was, for just a moment, disappointed. But then she remembered that burning building meant that people would probably get hurt. Coulson was standing out front, probably directing all of the traffic with just his eyebrows or something. But the moment he saw her, he pointed at another car, trunk open, that had, well, all of her scuba gear in it. "What on earth am I supposed to do?" she asked as she hurried over to the car and started untangling hoses. "Wait, this isn't my mask." It was a full face mask, which usually made her feel a little claustrophobic. No, cave diving didn't make her feel claustrophobic. She never claimed to be consistent. Thor is stuck, probably in ice or somehow unconscious in the basement of the building, which is flooded with water from the fire hoses. The firefighters were not prepared for underwater work and will take half an hour or more for them to get someone here. Captain America's 6-minute lung time isn't enough to get him to where Thor is and back. Coulson stopped and took a breath. "We asked Clint and Natasha to suit up and get down there, but neither has a dry suit, and Natasha told us that you're the only one who is trained to do this." Darcy listened and nodded absently as she pulled on everything except the face mask. But then the words he was saying finally penetrated her brain or something, and she almost dropped the mask. "Wait, you want me to haul ass down there into a basement full of water and rescue a..." Coulson wrapped her hand over her mouth before she could finish the sentence, but after digging her nails into his wrist for a moment, she relaxed. There was no point in taking it too personally. He had a job to do. "Yes," he said, taking his hand away. "Take this and put it on whatever's holding him in place. Push the button and get the hell out of there. He should be able to take care of the rust." This was a silvery hockey puck sort of thing, with red lights in the middle that blinked. "Okay," she said and pulled the mask over her head. It was dark and disgusting, and there were things floating in the water that she just didn't want to think about. But there was Thor in the back corner of the building, completely encased in ice, probably from Loki. Well, almost definitely from Loki, but she didn't want to rule out other strange things happening. She'd worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. long enough to know not to do that. She put the hockey puck on the little shelf of ice next to his foot. It didn't float, fortunately. She pushed the button and swam, walked away as fast as she could. She bumped into a corner on her way up the stairs, but made it out and was yanking her fins off, hopping on one foot, when a watery-sounding boom happened. Spinning around, she stared at the building, holding her breath for a few seconds, until, with a mighty roar, Thor appeared, with his hammer thingy. It always made her want to quote Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog at him, but she never did.
"Where did he go?" he bellowed. "Never mind, for I can hear the battle. Am I needed here?"
Coulson shook his head, and Thor was off. He was safe. She'd saved him. She, Darcy Lewis, B.A. in poli-sci, office monkey to a group of ninjas and superheroes, and oh yeah, a master scuba diver, had just saved a fucking demigod from certain doom. She had the best job ever. Also, she really needed a drink. The end. Thanks for listening. Happy and They're Safe by Cirque Bamboo. Read by Rose. This is part 2 of the Scuba Fork series. Darcy was at her desk, cleaning up leftover paperwork. That is, feeding it to the shredder, which was more fun than it should have been, when there was a knock at her door, which was open anyway. She looked up, and Captain America was standing in the doorway. "Hi there," she said, when he didn't say anything right away.
"Miss Lewis," he said with a nod.
She was thankful that someone had trained him out of saying "Miss" already. But honestly, The formality was getting to her. "Darcy," she said. "What's up, Captain Rogers?"
"Steve,"
he said back, with a facial expression somewhere between a smile and a wince. He straightened into a parade rest before saying,
"I have a favor to ask you."
"You want to shred something?" she offered.
"No, I... Is that what you're doing?" "Huh."
He looked at the shredder for a moment. It was a Stark Tech shredder, which was dead silent but would eat anything. Including probably Darcy herself if she weren't careful. She was half tempted to feed it Cap's shield some days. But then she realized that Stark would have to make him a new one, and it wouldn't do to get on the bad side of the guy who controlled her phone. And could fry her to a crisp in seconds, but whatever. Almost everyone in the building could kill her at any time. It had stopped phasing her months ago. "Favor," she said, prompting, when he still didn't say anything.
"Could you teach me how to scuba dive?"
he asked, all in a rush. She blinked. "Why?" she asked. She hadn't taught him initially because, well, he was apparently relatively impervious to pressure and could hold his breath for 6 whole minutes. Scuba diving would be a waste of his time. "I mean," she said, when he just turned red and didn't answer. "Isn't 6 minutes enough?" "That's what he said," her brain supplied, but fortunately Mr. raised in the 20s and 30s didn't notice. Although she hadn't, until that moment, thought about what holding his breath for 6 minutes might mean. Anyway.
"It's only 6 minutes under optimal circumstances," he said.
A moment later, she got it. She'd been diving enough to be able to figure out her oxygen use in various situations without having to calculate, and she knew that if it were a true emergency, which she'd been in only twice, once when one of her fellow diving students had gotten stuck back during training, and once, just last week, to save Thor in the basement of a building. She had to cut her expected time based on what was in the tank nearly in half. So if Cap were nervous for whatever reason, he wouldn't have a full 6 minutes of lung time. Maybe only 3. It took her another moment to figure out what might make Captain Freaking America nervous. Right. Plane crash, ice, effectively drowning, 70 years, yada. "Okay," she said. "Can you swim?" A lesser man might have rolled his eyes at her, she could tell. But he just gave a half-hearted smile and said,
"Yes."
"Have you done the first aid course?"
"We're not allowed in the field without it."
"Right." "Okay," she said, and dug into her desk drawer, writing the website and a couple of codes on the post-it. An actual post-it. Stark didn't bother with boring office supplies. She said, "This is the login information for the server where the online classes are, for the pre-pool information. I mean, is that going to work for you?" This time he did roll his eyes.
"Yes, Ms. Darcy, I even have my own laptop."
"Give me a break," she said. "I've had to buy 3 new microwaves in the last 2 months, and I know one of them was your fault."
"Arguably, it was Agent Barton's fault," Steve said mildly. "But yes, I'm aware."
"Well, all right." She didn't think Cap had thought to microwave a tinfoil popcorn thingy all on his own, but still. Ruined microwave. At least no one had traveled back in time and become his own grandfather, unless... Okay, no. That way lay madness. "So, when you're done with that, come back and find me, and we'll schedule some pool time. Although, you'll need a dive skin or a wetsuit. And I'm pretty sure you can't borrow anyone else's because you're like a foot taller than anyone else who owns one. Also, I'm the one who orders them, so, you're pretty resistant to temperature change, right?" He nodded. "Okay, then. I guess a generic dive skin for now, at least. I bet your measurements are on file." She clicked a few times and, oh, wow. All of his measurements were on file, and she did not need to know some of them. Although, no. Anyway, not her type. She liked him shorter and snarkier. Anyway. And not Tony Stark, although she probably would have hit that for a one-night stand if she could guarantee that Pepper wouldn't kill her, and no diseases, and no robots, and no sex tapes, and... Well, okay. Totally not worth it. Also, not important at the moment. "Yep, I'll order one. Also..." She fixed him with a look. Is there anything that I need to know? He looked back, one side of his mouth twitching, and said,
I think you already do know.
Yeah, she said a moment later. Look, I'm not sure I can handle a full super soldier freak out.
I won't freak out, he said quietly. I wouldn't have asked if I thought I was likely to hurt you.
Good point. Also, he probably asked Coulson, and Coulson had likely passed off on it before he even talked to her. And really, either she trusted him or she didn't. Obviously, she trusted the resident drunk and or sleep-deprived and caffeine-high genius billionaire playboy philanthropist, can't forget that part, who didn't always obey S.H.I.E.L.D.'s equipment testing rules. She was throwing paper into his shredder, after all. She trusted the giant Norse god with a freaking hammer, who had already exploded two copiers. And he wasn't even supposed to be in the room with them. Captain America? More Boy Scout than the Boy Scouts? Even with PTSD? Okay, she said after another pause. Online class, then pool time. Then, when you're ready, a dive in Florida. He nodded.
Thank you, Darcy.
No problem, Cap. The end. Thanks for listening. Darcy Lewis, Astrophysicist Wrangler. By Cirque Bamboo. Read by Rose. This is part 3 of the Scuba Forks series. But I don't need a new suit, Jane said. My old suit is good enough, isn't it?
It's really not, Darcy said, dragging Jane down the hall by the arm.
I'm not even your assistant anymore, and I got 5 phone calls about how your old suit isn't good enough.
Who on earth? Well, Darcy said. Okay, so 4 of them were from your new assistant, who was panicking because she couldn't think of a good way to convince you that you need a new suit.
She stopped in front of the elevator, but kept a hold of Jane's arm. The 5th one was Pepper Potts, who very politely offered me the use of a Stark Industries credit card if money was an issue.
Oh, Jane said, and she was very quiet for a long moment after that.
I really need a new suit that badly, she asked. The elevator dinged, and they stepped into it.
If you're going to present at the conference this weekend, yes, Darcy said. Stark Industries doesn't want one of its employees out in public in a suit that looks that crappy.
I'm not an employee of Stark Industries, Jane said, protesting.
Yeah, a consultant. Well, they can't exactly say you're a consultant for S.H.I.E.L.D., so for all intents and purposes, Stark Industries is the relevant company here.
The elevator opened, and Darcy grabbed Jane again.
Come on, the car is waiting.
Where are we going? Jane asked.
Rockefeller Center.
Don't worry, I took the credit card anyway.
Oh.
About 7 minutes later, they were in the building, staring at the list of stores on the kiosk, and Darcy turned to frown at Jane.
Have you ever shopped at any of these stores?
I have no idea, Jane said, eyes wide. Darcy rolled her eyes. I shouldn't have bothered asking.
Okay, there are about 10 stores in this mall that carry suits. And I spent all morning Googling exactly what we're supposed to be looking for in a suit. Because hell if I knew before that. But now I know, and you're going to be the hottest professionally dressed astrophysicist on the planet.
Jane snorted.
Well, that's not all that difficult.
It doesn't mean I'm not going to try my hardest.
Jane looked at her, tilting her head to one side.
Pepper bribed you.
I am unbribable, Darcy said, hand over her heart. I am doing this out of the goodness of my heart and under the knowledge that you will throw your old suit out.
Jane narrowed her eyes. What did she bribe you with? Tell me.
Darcy heaved a sigh.
Shoes.
Shoes.
Shoes, Darcy said. I wear them. She said I could buy shoes for myself if I made you buy a suit and got it tailored.
Jane nodded.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to go along with this?
Who am I to stand between you and a new pair of shoes?
You're the best, Darcy said with feeling.
Less than an hour later, personal shoppers were amazing. Jane had a new navy pinstripe suit and 3 new shirts to wear under it. Darcy took a picture of the whole lot and emailed it to Pepper, who sent back, Good. Jane has an appointment with my tailor at 4.
At 4, and it's 10 minutes from here, Darcy said. It's only 2:30. I think this means we have time to look for shoes, Jane said. And this is why you're still my best friend, Darcy grinned. Half an hour later, Darcy was wobbling out of Rockefeller Center wearing a pair of shoes with, really, Darcy, 6-inch heels, Jane said. And you're going to wear them for the rest of the afternoon. They're surprisingly comfortable, Darcy said. Any level of comfort better than banned by the Geneva Convention would be surprising about 6-inch heels, Jane said. Darcy pursed her lips. No, I've definitely worn more uncomfortable shoes before. It's your funeral, Jane said. Do you like being that much taller than I am? Darcy looked down at Jane, way down, and said, Yes. She got Jane through the tailor with a minimum of fussing. Why do I need the center of the jacket taken in? Don't argue with the lady with a mouthful of pins, Jane. And back to Stark Tower before 5 p.m. You can probably take the car home, Jane said. I've got some stuff to catch up on, since you kidnapped me for the afternoon. I'll do that, Darcy said, but I have to give Pepper the credit card back. Are you going to be able to walk that far? Jane asked, sounding dubious. I'm fine, Darcy said. She gritted her teeth and thought very resolutely about everything other than the blister forming on the side of her left foot. Let's go. Jane waited with her while she told the receptionist that she was here to see Pepper, and then waited while the receptionist confirmed. Miss Potts is on her way downstairs, Miss Lewis. If you wait a few moments, she'll be here. Okay, Darcy said. Hey, Jane, I'll see you late tonight, right? Yes, Jane said, and waved as she got into an open elevator. Darcy leaned against the wall and stared at a piece of incomprehensible modern art for a couple of minutes before she decided it looked like nothing so much as a puppy wearing a paper hat on its head. She heard the elevator ding and straightened quickly, not wanting Pepper Potts, of all people, to see her slouching. But when the doors opened, they didn't reveal Pepper. No, it was a pair of men, both dark-haired and familiar-looking. In that way, where one of them was Tony Stark and the other was Bruce Banner. Darcy took a step back, but apparently the movement caught Stark's attention, and he turned to look in her direction.
Hi, Tony Stark, he said, holding his hand out.
Darcy took it. Darcy Lewis, she said.
Yes, I know, he said. Professional Jane Foster Wrangler.
Darcy blinked.
Formally, she said.
Now I'm an office monkey.
Inexorably, he grinned. Office monkey. I like it.
The elevator doors opened right then, and without even looking, Stark said,
Hey, Pep, can we rename all the secretaries office monkeys?
Tony,
Pepper said, her tone clearly disapproving.
Hi, Darcy.
Darcy handed over the credit card, and Pepper nodded her acknowledgement.
Success? She asked.
New suit and 3 shirts at the tailor, Darcy said.
Pepper smiled.
And?
Darcy pulled up one pant leg about an inch, and Pepper sucked in her breath.
Pierre Hardy? She asked.
Pour la victoire, Darcy said.
Not that the name had meant anything to her 3 hours ago.
Nice, Pepper said, appreciation evident in her voice. Not quite my usual style, but I could change for those.
Oh, God, don't, Stark said, sounding strangled. Aren't you tall enough as it is?
Darcy looked up, and then down. At the moment, she could almost look Pepper Potts in the eye, and she was the same height, or maybe a smidge taller than both Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. She looked down, and both men were wearing dress shoes. Although Darcy was suspicious of Stark's. There might be lifts inside. Which meant that, she mouthed quickly in her head, Iron Man was, at best, 5'9" out of the suit. And the Hulk, when he was unhulked, was even shorter. She really couldn't stop the giggle that escaped her after that.
The end. Thanks for listening.